going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Ed, we welcome you into the first regular season edition of Meet Me at Mutual, at least for 2018. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdell, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. That's Alan Medlock, a Medlock1 on Twitter, the Redbird Daily, where you'll find him. You know, it's been an interesting week. The Cardinals have played in Montreal. The Cardinals are in New York. The Cardinals have started their season. They've gotten a closer. They've perhaps had some interesting. We'll get into that later on. That's ways down the wild. But anyway, it's been a full week. It's been a lot of stuff to talk about. And it's probably good for us, Alan, that the Cardinals did not play today, because we have enough as it is without having to address another game. But let's talk about it. Cardinals 0-1. They lose 9-4 on opening day. And there's a number of things that came out of that game, but I think you got to start with the starter, and that's Carlos Martinez, who just didn't have it. And it's frustrating to see. Now, and I'll get your take on him in just a second, but I want to preempt some criticisms. You know, I remember Adam Wainwright having some terrible games too, in big situations. I'm not sure about opening day. It feels like he's got an opening day clunker in his repertoire as well, but I'd have to go back and look. So just one game does not a season make, does not a reputation make. That being said, you know, given the fact that there's already been a body of evidence that wonders if Martinez is ever going to make that final step, and a spring training that wasn't all that sharp either, I mean, is there a concern about Martinez, even a light concern, after a game where he walked six batters in less than five innings?
No, I think there's light concern. I agree with that. And yeah, it was just like I didn't expect the Cardinals to win the opener, because I really thought Syndergaard would probably lock him down. It's one of those in New York, you get one of the first games of the day. I just thought it all kind of lined up for them. Considering that they scored four runs, it's even more frustrating that they got beat, because you thought, well, you score four runs off him, you should have plenty. But yeah, it was just it was really ugly from the beginning. Just never any command, and that was what was frustrating, because ultimately he dug his own grave, because they really didn't hit the ball very hard, and most people aren't going to against him. And just to give those the opportunities, it was frustrating. I think after waiting all offseason and then see a spring that ended well in the second half, it was frustrating to start off this way and kind of nonchalant, like we've complained about them being. I know it's opener, and I'm reading too much into it, but we wanted to see them start on a high note, you know, to win in 2-3, win in the opener, you know, take off is kind of what we want to see. And we want to see him be that pitcher that's always going to set that right, like Scherzer today and, you know, Kershaw last night. And this, you want to see that dominance early to set the pace and be the lead car for the rest of the series, rest of the season, and just kind of go from there. So it was disheartening. I do want to complain about something outside of just the game. I'm glad they're building in these day games, and I know that the second day of the season is usually a light slate just for TV reasons. I think it should be against the law for there to be Friday off days. I can't stand it. And there's several on the schedule this year, and you know, for every team, but you're trying to build a fan base, and not having games on Friday night's not going to help.
Well, I mean, that is the nature of them trying to stretch out, you know, adding the extra days off during the season.
True.
And stretching that out. You know, they started on the Thursday, but they want to have that Friday in case, you know, which it easily could have. I mean, the weather in New York yesterday was not great. It wasn't, you know, bad to play, and it was cold and kind of damp, but it could have easily been raining, like we saw in Cincinnati and places like that. So they like to have that day the next day so you can, you know, do your home opener stuff really easily. But you know, that said, you're right. I mean, they're going to have this Friday off. They're going to have next Friday off because they're going to do the same thing after the Cardinal home opener.
Exactly. It was funny. I was actually working yesterday, and I usually take the whole day off, and I didn't this year being a Thursday. My end of the weeks are a little bit lighter than the beginning of the week. And, you know, I was knocking out. If anybody doesn't know, I work in surgery, and I had a few things go on and kind of fell into my lap. When I saw the weather was bad, I was like, a rainout wouldn't necessarily bother me. You know what I mean? We can go into Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which I feel is regular. I don't like the Friday day off, but I mean, I get it. I get why they're doing it. I like that they start in March, and I do like giving more time, but just me. I just think that the Friday should, they have to play on Fridays.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, but unless you start, you know, unless you start everybody with a 4-day, 4-game series, which wasn't going to happen, it becomes a little bit problematic, but, you know, yeah, I agree. It's weird, and it is frustrating. And every year, it's frustrating to have that day off after. You know, you get excited, you get pumped, and especially after a game like yesterday, where you want to get it out of your taste out of your mouth to some degree, and then have to wait again until, you know, basically 48 hours. It's frustrating, but again, it's one of those things that I get. You're right, like you said, I get why they do it. And I don't know any other way you can do it to try to make sure that you have, you know, that little cushion because of the way the weather is. The other option is to always play in domes, and we don't want to do that either. So, so let's get back to Carlos. You know, I'm looking at his career numbers, and you know, ERA and FIP and. Things like that have increased, although his WHIP has decreased over the last 3 years. And it's just, again, it feels like he can take that extra step. We continue to talk about he has all the tools to be a top 10 pitcher, a top 5 pitcher in baseball. But there comes a point, and I'm not saying that we're there yet, don't get me wrong. I'm not writing that off at all, but there does come a point where you wonder if he's just going to be a good or very good pitcher and not a great pitcher. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just we've kind of gotten this expectation ever since he's come up from the minor, you know, started in the minor leagues, that he's going to be that guy. And he's coming after Carpenter and Wainwright. We've always had, in this era of Cardinals, a pitcher that contended for Cy Young and things of that nature, at least somewhere in his career. And so it's hard to, you know, when Carlos has had that same type of buildup, we want him to get there. And he's 26. I mean, there's still time for him to make that step. There's easily could do that this year. I mean, this could this could be the worst start of his career, of the year. But you know, with some of the struggles he's had last year, and with some of the struggles he had in the spring, I don't know. I mean, I think, like you said, there's just a little bit of, is he ever going to do it?
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like there's a lot of undue criticism just due to I think there's more heritage things and cultural things that he does that probably we touch upon too much. And it may just be the way that he is. You know, he may just not take that step. You know, I was so impressed by Weaver at the end of last year. In spring this year, that you could see that he had progressed to not necessarily the A status, but something that if that kind of jump was made from Martinez, he may be in that Scherzer type category, you know. And that's you almost waffle in saying that a little bit, but I think we're all on the same page here that we both want it to be those dominant starts to where he takes the ball and you know. Your chances of winning are high. I just don't think it's at that point. And I think these big games with the spotlight on there, show that. Now, he has a history of pitching poorly in cold weather. That may have had a part of it. I didn't think there was necessarily a body language issue or anything like that. So it may have just been stuff, and it may have been the way that they handled him in spring didn't help either. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think we're all pulling on the same, chain to get to see him to that point. It's hard to believe. It's frustrating that it hasn't happened yet after UC starts like yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, if they had lost 2-1, you know, if he'd even lost,
sure,
you know, a 4-3 game or something like that, you know, and especially against Syndergaard, you understand it. And it's just, boy, you know, not having his command was the biggest thing. I mean, walked 6, hit a batter. When you put that many runners on, something's going to burn.
Yeah. Walks killed him. I mean, it was bad. I mean, almost every walk scored. It was it just frustrating.
Yeah. And again, I mean, you know, we'll see him again at the end of the Diamondback series. Diamondback. I continue to think that they're going to Arizona. They're going to Milwaukee next, and then the Diamondbacks come into St. Louis.
Yeah.
That's what I continue to forget. Not used to Arizona coming in early. They've gone to Arizona early.
Exactly. Always early in the year.
Anyway, so we'll see him at the end of the Brewers series, which should be maybe give us a little bit better indication of what this is going to be, because I think he's always done fairly well against the Brewers. It's a team.
And in that building. Yeah, and a Miller Park. He's always pitched well there.
As well. So, you know, if he struggles in that one, you know, we may be get a little bit more concerned. But, you know, right now, I think we just got to cling to this idea, and a true idea, that it is just one game, and we will see how the rest of the season plays out. Martinez struggled. I think it was, you know, 4-3 at the time when he left, because that was the most frustrating thing, I think, and you and I talked about it a little bit before the show. You know, the Cardinals get down 1-0. They come back. Yachty hits the home run. They go up 2-1. They don't hold it. And I actually started doing some work last in the off season, and then realized how much of a massive project it was, and didn't finish it. Of trying to see how many leads, you know, how mm-hmm. long, you know, if they automatically gave a lead back, and what that did compared to everybody, which meant going through all the box scores and line scores, and I got like I'm 3 weeks in, and it's like it's just not happening. But roughly, the little bit I did, you know, it looked like people kept a lead, at least for the bottom of an inning, you know, the next half frame, for about 75% of the time, which is a little bit lower than I would have expected. But the Cardinals, again, they turned around, they gave it right back, they came back, they tied it, they came turned around and gave it right back, you know, it's 4-3. Martinez leaves, Bowman comes in, and it all goes to pot. and nothing worked well for Bowman. Now, it's a little bit surprising just because Bowman did have a regular solid spring, although in the spring you don't know who they're facing, if they're facing minor leaguers or whatever.
Sure.
Let's talk about, before we get into Bowman himself, let's talk about the choice of bringing in Bowman. This, and I've seen, you know, there was an article at the Verville Albertos today about it. Tara did a pretty good job of covering it in her About Last Night video part on Bird Seeds. This is not what we expected when Mike Maddux was hired, and this idea that the pitching was going to go through him, that things were going to be different. Runner on second, one out. It's not really the time for a Bowman. It feels like it's more of a time for a guy like Leon or even Myers, the way he pitched in the spring, mm-hmm. a guy that can strike some, you know, so many of those arms. Almost everybody in that bullpen can be a strikeout artist except for Bowman, and that's the one they went with.
Yeah, and I thought the same thing, especially the use in that situation. It was disappointing, and I like Bowman. I feel like we pile on him a little bit too much, not necessarily us, but, you know, Cardinals fan, the fan base in general. But he was actually not very good in the spring. So I kind of wondered about that, and I was like, well, do they consider this being in the fourth inning or whatnot, low leverage? Or I think, did he go Did he come into the fourth or fifth? I can't. For some reason, I thought Martinez pitched into the fifth.
Yeah, Martinez got one out in the fifth.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because when we were talking before the show, I was like, you know, I think he went into the fifth because there was two innings to get out of it. Martinez looked pretty good to get out of the inning. But I was like, well, here's the fifth. I guess that would be kind of the script. But he wasn't that good through the spring. And I know you can't keep guys on the roster that you just intend not to use. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But I was really surprised about that as well because I was like, well, get a strikeout, get out of it. Myers had been up already. So when they went to Bowman, I was thinking, well, this is kind of an odd deal. And in the back of your mind, you're like, well, that's kind of the same that we've seen the last 2 years out of them. So I don't know. It did raise a red flag to me.
And Bowman, I look at Bowman's spring stats weren't too bad. Two wins, a 2.38 ERA, and actually had 12 strikeouts at 11.1 innings, which is a little bit surprising out of Bowman. But again, he's not a guy that typically, even though he did, like I said, 12 strikeouts in the spring, that's not typically what you expect out of him. You're expecting to get ground balls, and while that didn't happen much either, ground balls with a runner on second is just asking for a ball to go through the zone and get that extra run in. And if you can keep the game at 4-3, with Syndergaard struggling a little bit, not, you know, he's still striking people out, but they're getting to him a little bit. Plus, you keep it at one run with all those bats, you never know. But instead, you know, you go to Bowman, who even on his best days might have been trouble. It wasn't his best day. Zach Gifford wrote a piece over at Birds on the Black that really kind of indicates the numbers are showing that he's hurt, which is, again, no surprise to anybody that has watched him pitch seemingly every day over the last two seasons. It would not be a big surprise given the usage. Zach's got plenty of statistics to back it up because Zach does, and it's worth reading if you haven't. Go over the Birds on the Black and look for Zach's. I think it's titled "Matt Bowman's Arm is Falling Off," which is pretty accurate. But it shows. I mean, his extensions shorter than it used to be. His velocity is down, and you put all those things together, and it's just not good. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's hurt, if he's just not effective anymore. But I don't know. I mean, will Mike Maddux be able to tell this to Mike Matheny? And will he be able to say, look, we don't need to use him. And like, we're not going to use him against the Brewers. You know, he's not pitching the rest of this Mets series. You know, will he be able to tell him that? Or will he think to? I mean, again, we still don't know what Mike Maddux is going to be like with this team yet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hate to think that there may be a power struggle in any of this. I was hoping that it would be I understand that there's equalities. No, not everybody gets. It's not a situation where everybody gets along. I mean, we understand it's a job, and that's what these guys do. I hope it's not one of those situations where these are just pointless, and it's going to lead to bigger, you know, clubhouse issues this year, this time being more the coaching staff than it was the, you know, the players. So I don't know. I mean, I hate to think that this is going to be the, you know, just like La Russa, though, this is the first week of the season. I mean, but it's tough. It's tough not to jump on these things because it's the same pattern that we've had the last 2.5 years, which we just did not want to see. So I don't know that, you know, the jury's still out on that situation, but you're right. I mean, it's kind of sad that we have to think that there may be issues or maybe issues down the road. And it, as much as I said, I'm not an apologist and I'm not a hater, but it does seem to all, you know, everything seems to wrap up into one guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's a little frustrating about it.
I will say maybe, and I don't have any clue, maybe just me rationalizing the heck out of a situation, but it could be that Maddux is still feeling his way, and so he's going to let Matheny do what he wants to do, like this game. Bring Bowman in, fine. And then they can talk about, hey, you know, this is why I wouldn't have done this. This is why I, you know, this is the numbers. These are this is the situation. This is why in the future I'm probably going to recommend this guy. And maybe, as an object lesson, Mike Matheny will understand where mm-hmm. Maddox is coming from now that he's seen it blow up. Again, I don't know. I think that's probably reaching a lot because there's no real indication. I mean, Matheny should have figured some of this stuff out by now, and I don't know that Maddox is going to do that. But, you know, again, we were told that Maddox was going to be this pitching coordinator, that he was going to be in charge of things, and I think all of us expected some differences. And, you know, kind of like what Tara said, it just felt like a 2017 game at sure. times last night. And, again, it's hard to, you know, all we have is this one game to analyze, and we kind of draw all these conclusions out of it that may be completely moot by this time next week. But it is, you know, I think if you had said October 5th last year, who's the first reliever that's going to come in to the Cardinal game in 2018? Everybody would have said Matt Bowman. And when they hired Mike Maddox, you might have said, I don't know who it's going to be, but it's probably not going to be Bowman because Mike Maddox isn't going to let that happen. And yet, Matt Bowman is the first one out. So, I don't know, but I really feel like... I think here's the question, though. I mean, really, how long do they go with Bowman if he is hurt? And again, nobody's ever said he's hurt. Zach's got some really interesting numbers that kind of indicate that maybe there's an issue there. If he's not hurt, he's definitely not pitching the same way he was. How long do they go with him before they make a call? There's plenty of yarns in the minors. He's still got options. You can send him down even if you don't want to put him on the disabled list. I guess that maybe is that more telling about who's in charge or if there's a different philosophy than maybe even his usage?
I'm curious to see how this plays out. I don't want to jump off the cliff after just one appearance, but I think you're onto something to see how things have changed. If there's any, if the protocol is going to change on this, like we were talking beforehand and kind of texting with some of the guys, what are they going to do if the Holland deal, goes through? And, you know, obviously that's going to be a situation where it probably won't be announced until tomorrow, which means nothing will be done as far as assignment where he's going to start until the Arizona series and how long he's going to stay in the minors to warm up and all that stuff. But I am curious to see how this is, if they're just going to count this as a one bad outing or if it's going to turn into a, hey, these are some warning signs that he may need to go work on something, or we may have to give him a little bit of rest, be it a 10-day DL stint or something like that. So the jury's still out, but I just don't think with what they have ready to go, the minor league season hadn't started yet. I understand that may play a factor in it, but it's just like one of these where if they have the resources that they believe they have, I mean, and Hicks is up already, Brebbia could come back up real quick. I don't see why you even roll the dice. You know, that we've been told that they're going to be going back and forth to Memphis a lot. You know, why don't start now? You know, because he may have earned maybe another appearance, but I don't know if it's another bad one that if he can make it out of New York without a decision being made.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I don't want to see him pitch again in New York. I think that I'd rather wait till Milwaukee. And I think that's, like I said, I think Matt Bowman may be a decent test case to see how much influence or how much change is going on in the organization with Mike Maddox. Because if he doesn't pitch, because, I mean, we know Mike Matheny would throw him maybe tomorrow, definitely Sunday. No matter what the situation was, probably Matt Bowman would at least warm up in one of those games. If Matt Bowman doesn't play until Milwaukee, then I think that maybe we're seeing a little bit of a regime change, if you will, or at least some philosophical differences being worked on. And again, it may have been one of those things. Hey, we try him out this time. It didn't work. Now we'll see him go forward. But you're right. There's no reason to let anybody have a long leash right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All those guys down there. So I don't know. I think that's something to really watch this weekend and going forward. Because I think if Bowman struggles like he did in the opener, I just got a feeling that he won't, you know, Zach in his article talked about, you know, Matheny would run him out there for another month or so. I just don't think I don't think they're going to this year.
Sure.
I just don't think they can.
I hope so. That would show a sense of urgency that I felt like they've lacked, you know, and, you know, I'd like to see that. I mean, we have other arms and I don't know. I mean, obviously, they feel like they're – I know we don't want to get into another segment, but they made a signing because they feel like they're close. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose that trying to let a guy work through this that may be pitching with a deficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no reason for that. There's no need for that. And if, you know, if it does look like that Bowman is compromised – whatever the face may be, you know, don't throw him out there. And like I said, we'll see if that's the case.
True.
I guess, I mean, before we move on, any other points out of this game? You know, we didn't talk much about the offense. Yachty hits the home run. Jose Martinez has three hits, and we will get into a little bit about Jose Martinez in a little bit. I just don't know that you can take a whole lot out of a game where they're facing a guy like Noah Syndergaard and really take any. I know we've been drawing conclusions plenty on the pitchers, but I just think, you know, four bats against a tough pitcher and a decent bullpen, not much you can draw there.
No, I agree. And I actually thought the lineup performed fairly well. I understand there's some. You know, eight strikeouts out of your 1-2-4 hitters doesn't look great. But, you know, Pham may be a little compromised right now. I think he's working through some things. Fowler looked like – I hope that Fowler just lets the game come to him. But another thing we're overlooking is strikeouts are a part of it anymore. You know, so that may be something we just kind of have to get used to. But other than that, I was proud of the way they fought back. You know, because they're scoring runs to get right back into it, just like you were talking about the article that you had maybe planned to write. I like the fact that they fought back on those. You know, then, of course, they laid the egg there in the fifth and gave up the five, and that's going to be tough to come back from. It's 40 degrees. It's going to be hard to score runs when they're not giving away bases, and they never did, and their bullpen actually performed pretty well. So I didn't have any complaints about that. I liked the lineup configuration. I thought it worked well. I thought it was really telling. I know, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later with Martinez, but I thought they played well. I just thought it was a situation where the pitching wasn't sharp and, you know, take your lumps and move on. Like I said, I didn't expect to win the game anyway. I really thought Syndergaard would really come out and pitch well.
And I mean, you gotta like the fact that Yadier Molina was hitting sixth. And I mean,
sure.
I would have probably flipped him and DeYoung, but obviously it worked out. DeYoung hitting seventh after hitting, you know, fourth so much last year, third or fourth. Oh, I guess fourth or fifth at least. It seemed weird. But, you know, that just shows, I think to some degree, shows how deep that lineup is.
Agreed. And, I agree with that.
You know, I think on the whole, it's interesting. You know, like I said, it was a pretty decent lineup, you know, maybe, you know, except maybe there are times, maybe things will change a little bit. We'll just have to wait and see. All right. Well, we've hinted around. We've talked a little bit about here and there, but the Cardinals did hours before opening day start. The news came out that they had agreed in principle, I guess you would say, on a deal with Greg Holland, the free agent closer, the last big free agent that's probably sitting out on the market. Yeah, 1 year deal, $14 million. The Cardinals will forfeit their second round pick to the Rockies for the signing of Holland. Plus, they will have to find room for him on the 40-man roster now, and the 25-man roster as well. And they have to figure out how he's going to work. Sounds like the 40-man may be the more of an issue than the 25 right now, because it sounds like they want to get him into some minor league games, get him worked up a little bit. I know he's been staying in shape, but it's not quite the same. Just general thought, what do you think? Good idea? Needed idea?
It was You know when it popped up on my, you know, this was just, it was the perfect Cardinal signing because they kept it a secret until they announced it. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially until the, I think Rosenthal is the one that broke the news, but I didn't get anything until the MLB update on my phone. Mm-hmm. And you look and you're like, oh wow, they went ahead and did that. And then you look and you're just like, well, it's made sense kind of all off season. If they, you know, here leading up to the first series, they're like, well, we're going to go closer by committee. We really don't know who that guy is yet. And, you know, there was the Gregerson announcement at the winter warm up, which didn't seem to come across with a lot of conviction. So you don't know how much his injury played into that. I like it. To me, it makes it seem like they really think they're close. That they think they really believe they're a good team. And this is one of those they needed somebody proven to where I think there's a couple articles that came out today that were fantastic. Rusty had written one, and I'm sorry at the top of my head, but someone else had written one. Oh, it was Bernie. Bernie had mentioned it today on the show about how actually his last season was really good until kind of a freak accident with a knife hurt three or four of his appearances that really made the end of the season look bad, but he was actually really good last year. And this is a guy who's a proven closer, and he was a closer on that Kansas City staff, mm-hmm. and he was the closer, but actually probably didn't have the best stuff because you have
White Davis.
You had Davis, and you had the other, is it Escobar? I can't think of his name, that also shared a little of the late inning role. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I was glad to see it, but I'm also the honk that's glad to see any move they make. So I try to differentiate that just a little bit, but I don't know. To me, it felt like when they made the decision that it kind of fell into their laps and they really think that this is a piece that could put them over the top.
You know, obviously the Cardinals felt like there was a need in their bullpen. I think a lot of us looking at these arms, looking at all the arms that were out there, like you said, throwing arms at the problem, didn't think that a closer was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a number of guys that could take the ninth, and there is a feeling among fans, and maybe, and it does not seem to be that way against with players and front office guys, that the closer position is slightly overrated. You know, getting three outs when there's three run lead shouldn't be a problem. That kind of thing. It's not obviously they're not all saves are like that, but you know not all saves are considered equal, and there's the idea that sometimes the games are won in the seventh versus the ninth. You know, that being said, three-time All-Star, guy that's got 40 saves, and it does give Matheny a option in the ninth, which, you know, one, it's a very very solid option, very good option. Two, as we said earlier in the year with Gregerson, it allows him, in theory, to be more creative with Leon, with Lyons, with Gregerson, with Hicks, who we really need to talk about too. All those guys. He doesn't necessarily have to save one of those for the ninth. He can use one of those in the seventh. He can use one of those in the eighth. He can use one of those in the sixth if there's a big moment. And maybe that's going to come more out of Mike Maddox, and maybe, you know, maybe Matheny will come up with himself. I don't know, but having that closer back there does make the bullpen better, and I don't know. I guess it's a good thing. I don't know. I just was so sure that the Cardinals were not going to go that way. Now, again, if it was a two-year deal, if it was a three-year deal, it would not be a good thing, I don't think. But a one-year deal at less than the qualifying offer and less than the option that he turned down, I guess it's really hard to turn that away.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of it now. The national pundits say, well, this made sense from the beginning, and everybody acted like that's where they were weak, and maybe they're a starter week still. So I don't know if I believe that. You know, now Martinez kind of blew my theory out of the water of them being a really, really good rotation the other day. But like I said, it was just the one start, and he has a history of not throwing well in the cold weather. Maybe some of it. But Yeah, I mean, I think the added stability is going to be huge. And if he pitches to his career norms, that their bullpen can be really, really good. You know, the guy, you always wonder if a guy like Lyons isn't like, hey, am I ever going to get a shot at this? But, you know, he may be one of those more that he wants a shot at the rotation more than he is at the back of the bullpen. So you never know. And I think winning cures all those all those ills. So I don't know. I would, like I said, when they make moves, I'm always glad because I always try to see the silver lining on this one on it. And now you have a bunch of arms back there that are proven, and I think veterans know how to get people out. I mean, toward the end of the season last year, Duke was probably their best reliever next to Lyons. And Nicasio, but right. You know, that was one of those that wouldn't have mattered if they did anything anyway. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a pretty good move. I'm curious to see how it all plays out. If he's with them in St. Louis, or if it's going to be any longer than that. I got a little nervous when there wasn't an announcement today because I feel like the physical is going to be really, really pivotal. So that goes without saying. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it works out, and I can't lie and say that it doesn't give me a little bit of a comforting feeling to have someone back there with proven numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the Cardinals haven't had a proven closer since signing Isringhausen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously Trevor Rosenthal was a very solid closer, was a very good closer, but he proved himself as the closer. As his time in St. Louis, he didn't, you know, come fully formed or anything. Plus, you know, you had your own issues with Rosenthal because he had that 1 year in the middle that was not so good, and then he got hurt, and you still had to kind of hold your breath. You know, if we could get a guy, if Holland will come in, you look at his whip over, you know, last year's whip was 1.151. You'd have to look the year before that. Of course, he's got with Tommy John. One before that was 1.45. But he's had some whips, years with whips under one. And if he can come in and regularly have a 1-2-3 ninth, that's going to be so refreshing because the Cardinals mm-hmm. haven't had that a lot. And so we'll see if he can do that. It does put, you know, a lot of those really good arms, like I said, if your starters can go six and you've got him for the ninth, that means you could almost mix and match or play, you know, you could run four or five pitchers to get those six outs between them if you wanted to, depending on how things look or how people are doing. It's something that I'm interested to see. I don't think the Cardinals had to do this. I don't think their bullpen was this weakness that they thought they had, but
sure.
I can understand why they want that imposing guy at the back.
Yeah.
And I guess part of me just never thought of Greg Holland like that. Of course, he spent most of his year in the American League, so I don't pay any attention to him. But he's kind of, in my mind, just kind of sprung on this. Now, obviously, he's been better than I think for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly my fault. But it's still interesting to, you know, you don't think of him and Raldus Chapman, you know. When you think of closers, you think of Chapman.
Yeah.
I don't know that you think Holland, but he's obviously been there for a while, and he has incentive to pitch well and show that he can continue to do that and maybe get a contract for next year. You're right, though. It is going to be interesting to see when and how they use him. If he stayed in shape, and I think somebody said he was pitching at like one of those Scott Boras camps or something, he may just need a little bit of time. I kind of think he probably would be in St. Louis for the opener, if nothing else, to show him this is what you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that would be about the right timeline. I think it would probably have to be announced tomorrow, mm-hmm. and then they would have to come out with a plan. If it went any further than that, I think it would be trouble. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see, and it's you know, and one thing that we may be overlooking is that they thought that someone would have taken control of the situation in spring, and then maybe they just didn't feel like that. Maybe they didn't feel like they had that that complete guy in the ninth to do it, and that may explain some of the Hicks situation that they're like, well, we think that he adds an option that complements these guys well, and someone ultimately will take the ninth inning. But I think they wanted, they're just like, hey, if that's a question mark, let's answer it now, and then we'll fill out from there.
Maybe so. I mean, I didn't look at the final stats after taking them down, but You know, I know at one time Leon was 4-for-4 in saves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was, I don't know that he gave up maybe a run in the spring. You know, I think if you were looking at statistically in the spring, and again, those are spring training stats, and whether you should take them for what they're worth is a different story. But if you looked at spring training, you would say that Leon had grabbed that role.
Which it seemed like it. I mean, that's you and I both agreed that on the last show, before they left Florida, it seemed like that's the direction they were going to go. Yeah. And, well, and even you know Toronto showed that.
Yeah, because yeah,
game in Montreal.
Yeah. I mean, again, they may have wanted to, you know, have him available at different times, and again, it is a psychological thing as well to add to the team, especially right here at the end. So, I don't know. Again, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a fine deal. It's a good price. But again. And I think Adam Butler asked us on Twitter to tackle this, you got to find room for him. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals just spent some 40-man roster capital by finding room for Francisco Pena and Jordan Hicks, which meant that Breivik Valera and Josh Lucas were designated for assignment. I think Valera might make it all the way back to the minors. I don't think Lucas will, but... because somebody could claim him and put him in their minors because
they're
not on their 40-man if they have 40-man room. But now they have to clear another spot. And it feels to me, and let's tackle this, but it still feels to me that it's a little strange that they did the Hicks move if they knew this was coming too. But we'll get into Hicks in a little minute. Who goes? Who goes off the 40-man? Who goes off the 25-man? Now, like I said, it feels like since Holland needs to do something else, you know, needs to go pitch for the minor leagues or whatever, that they're not going to do, it's not going to be the same guy. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Somebody's going to come off the 40-man, but probably somebody in the minors now. And then when Holland's ready, they'll demote somebody and he'll go on the 25. So, I mean, what do you, but that didn't have to be that way. What do you think? How do you think they get him on the roster?
You kind of poked holes in my theory about Bowman with an extended stay on the DL, because a 60 would be that's a little excessive in a situation like that. That being said, just off the top of my head, you would think that Tui Valala may be vulnerable in this situation, and maybe a Brevia. I don't know. That's kind of the directions I would go, especially if we think that it's going to be a pitcher.
I don't know that.
Are they?
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just say I don't think it's Tui because since Holland is not going to come straight up.
Yeah.
If it was coming straight up, I might think that. But since he's not coming straight up, you'd have to bring up somebody to fill that spot for Tui until Holland was ready, and that seems a little extra.
So, I mean, it even you saying that makes it sound like Brevia and Tui Valala would be in play.
Brevia...
I guess everybody is at this point. I mean...
You got to wonder about Brevia just because they did... You know, it looked like they were going to take him north because he pitched well.
Yeah.
Not great, but well enough, and he pitched well last year. And then all of a sudden they reverse course and take Jordan Hicks and send him to the minors. That being said, you know, Brevia does have experience. I feel like they probably would do that. You know, I don't have any reason to back it up. I don't think it's necessarily a wise move, but part of me wonders if it's Ryan Sheriff.
Well, that's I was just looking at that, and I saw he had a real quick cryptic tweet before opening day.
I did not see any.
It was well. I say that I'm sure any athlete that's active on social media put the same thing. It was kind of like proving doubters wrong as usual, situation. So
yeah, that's probably. Time to prove everyone wrong as always. Yeah, that's And he has been like that. I mean, that's, you know, he's had to kind of battle through it. But he's a lefty, and, I mean, lefties are valuable. I mean, he's not going to slip through waivers. Somebody's going to take him.
Sure.
Take him. And the Cardinals, I mean, the Cardinals are fairly left-handed. I mean, they got Cecil, and they've got Lyons. Well, I guess that's about it, though. So they may not want to lose Sheriff then, because he would be a third lefty that, you know, as an option to come up, especially if somebody like Cecil got hurt. I don't know. I mean, this is a, you know, you could see somebody like Darian Gonzalez go, but they just put him on the third and the 40 man. You could see somebody like Edmundo Sosa go, but you know, that's, you're already lacking in shortstop depth. And it may be that they make some sort of deal, some sort of trade, but and maybe that's part of what they're working on right
well,
now.
Well, I agree. That's what I was going to say while we before you said that about Sheriff, is I was like, well, this could be delayed a day, and the announcement, not only due to the physical, but they had something else in the works.
Maybe so. You know, if it wasn't, if he had to come directly, you know, some people, of course, everybody wants Bud Norris gone. And if Greg Holland was ready, even though Bud Norris hasn't pitched yet, I have been adamant that they're not going to cut him before he gets the least chance to try to earn some of that $3 million. But if Greg Holland can come in right now, I'm not sure that that's not what they would do.
Yeah.
Now. He's not, and so they're going to go a different direction. But I don't know. So let's say it's somebody like Sheriff that goes right now. I mean, who goes down when Holland's ready to come up? Assuming that we don't put Bowman on the DL, which is a possibility right then.
Yeah. They're so enamored with Hicks. Mm-hmm. You'd think that'd naturally be part of the move.
You can't take him and send him down, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's
a lot of work for a week of...
Yeah, I agree. And then, of course, with Tui, you can't because of the waiver situation.
Right.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, you almost think they'd have to make a move, or that it would be Myers, and mm-hmm. I think he's done everything he can to stay up.
Well, and I think, so. You know, honestly, I was thinking it probably would be Myers, and I think it's ironic. It would be very ironic in the fact that we spent the last week of spring training saying who's going to get that last spot, Brevia or Myers. And then for one day, they both got it. And then, you know, then it was Myers. And then it could be by the time the opening rolls around that they're both in the minor leagues, which is just shows you how weird baseball can be at times. But I don't see, just because of the options there, just unless they do something like Bowman to the DL, which is possible. Then I don't know. I think that it almost has to be Myers, because he's about the only guy you could lose off the 25 without,
yeah,
you know, running into contract problems. So, but I don't know. Again, that's the situation. You know, it's somebody. You know, maybe Mo makes some sort of deal and he trades. Trades Myers, well, he's, you know, trades Tui. Maybe he could trade Tui, which is, well, I think that's very possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Okay. I guess that's all about Holland that we really need to discuss. But let's get into a little bit more as we're in this area. We'll talk a little bit about Jordan Hicks. Cardinals make that move on Monday to take Hicks, who has not pitched over, I don't think he's pitched over high A ball, and I don't think he's pitched much at high A, and him jump all the way to the majors, based basically, I mean, besides the fact he's extremely talented, really based on the four innings that he threw against the Nationals at the end of spring training. I gotta think you were just about as surprised as I was when you heard that.
No, I was. I thought that his ship had sailed, in the initial week of camp whenever he showed the maturity issues about showing up on time. And then came back and pitched a couple times. You know, one time emergency after that, then that start. So whenever I saw that he was coming up, I was like, man, that's funny, because at that point I had really come to grips that they had figured something out about the bullpen and that these guys were going to come back up late edition types. So when he came in, I was like, that's perfect. I'm kind of wanting to see what role he uses. It's just kind of like they did with Reyes, just big outs, multiple inning outs, multiple inning outings, and see how that would figure itself out. So I was really surprised to see it, especially when it cost a guy like Brebbia, who they seem to really like, when it cost him a shot to be up with the ball club. But then when you see it, and he was dominant the other day, and he's going to have the advantage over a lot of these guys until the book is out on him, kind of like the Reyes situation, because, you know, Reyes has mowed through guys as well. Pretty impressive. It's not to like. I can't see it being a whole season type situation. I really thought we'd see him at some point. I didn't think we'd see him in the opener. I don't know. I mean, it's cool. I like how the mindset has worked about how these guys are making the team. They're making the decision for ownership that they've got to have them on the club to feel like they're better, to feel like that roster is at the point where they feel like they can win. But you're right, this one kind of seemed kind of thrown together. And, you know, the Hollando kind of does as well. But it seems like some roles are being figured out on this. And Hicks, I'm not sure what it's going to be, but they think it's going to be dominant, whatever it is.
Yeah, they do. You know, I wrote about it earlier in the week when they did it. I still am not sure. It feels to me like the Padres have gotten into their heads. You know, we talked to Mo last year, and he talked about how the Padres taking Alan Cordoba and put him in the major leagues, and taking Luis Perdomo and putting them in the major leagues, and seeing them have some success, although Cordoba kind of tailed off after the early beginning of the year, was why he felt like he could go get Max Sierra and bring him up. And it feels to me like that's kind of what they're thinking with Hicks. It's like, why not bring this talent up? Now, you know, what does this do for Hicks as a starter? It pretty much, it feels like if he stays up and is doing this for very long, you're going to start shutting that win. It feels like a Rosenthal situation. You may not ever get him back to being a starter. And, you know, there could be value there.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. I'm kind of like you. It feels like he's going to run into some bumps. He's going to run into some sort of speed bumps here and there. And at some point in time, he's going to be sitting down. It's kind of like, Sierra, although Sierra was up just for some injury, and he stayed a week and went back down. I can't see him. You know, if he's able to be successful at the major league level all year, that's awesome. And when you're throwing 101 miles an hour on a regular basis, you got a chance to do that. But eventually, Dodgers time it. I was watching tonight. I was watching the end of the Yankees game, and nobody throws it faster than Aroldis Chapman. But, you know, the Blue Jays were able to, you know, put back-to-back doubles on him, score a run. Now he got, you know, got the job done. Got the save. Yankees won all that. But, you know, batters are getting around. In fact, they were talking about it in the thing that Chapman is still dominant, is still impressive. But being that so many people are 100 miles an hour now, he's not as much of an outlier as he used to be.
Yeah,
that people can hit him a little bit better than they used to. He's still hard to touch, but he can still do it a little bit more because they see 100-mile-per-hour fastballs a little bit more often. So that's what I worry about with Hicks. Now, you know, he's got other pitches. He just needs to develop them, and can he do that in the big leagues? I don't know. Obviously, the Cardinals aren't too worried about it today, and it's a little weird for an organization that prides itself on developing talent to kind of short-circuit that development time.
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking about that during the outing the other day. I was like, man, then you really start wondering. You're like, that could be a dominant starter. You know, you feel that way about Reyes as well. You know, whenever he came on the scene, and that was kind of pitched out of necessity. Those two feel a lot alike. I hope kind of what happened with Reyes doesn't happen to Hicks, but it seems to happen to everybody nowadays.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see how that plays out as well. It's going to be an interesting season with all the fluctuation in that roster they're going to have. But boy, he was impressive. I mean, it's hard. It was hard not to look, watch and go, man, he just overpowered those guys. And I remember thinking that about Rich as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. You are right where, triple digits used to be so rare. Now it seems like everybody has them in the bullpen.
Yeah. It's again, I hope he does very well. But I'm really surprised at the Cardinals doing that. And I imagine that will be a topic that we'll get broached with Mosey Lockett, Blogger Weekend that's coming up here in a couple of weeks. So, and what the plan is there. So we'll see. All right, finally, because we've been going at this a little bit, but we still got a little bit of stuff to cover. There was an article by Bernie today that was directed to me by Uncle Frank on Twitter. I think it's F.R. Robinson, 1957, something like
trying
that.
Trying to get me cut by the weekend, by the way, this week. So, he's trying to get me released, trying to start a rumor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I wasn't the one DFA'd, but Alan was going to be. That's right. God, he confused me there for a minute. Anyway, he sent it along to me, and it was basically the fact that Bernie took this quote from Jose Aquindo. Jose Aquindo says that Jose Martinez is going to be basically the everyday first baseman. Carpenter's going to, I guess, play some third, mainly play third, maybe some second, I don't know. But Jose Martinez is basically going to be the first baseman. And Bernie went with this in the fact that a little bit of a struggle. Jose Aquindo obviously doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's going to do what he wants to do now. He has the autonomy to do that. He wouldn't have come back otherwise. And if Matheny doesn't like it, too bad. I don't know that I'd go that far on all this. It may be that Aquindo's just reiterating some stuff that Matheny said in private. It's kind of the philosophy of the team. They just haven't necessarily been a big deal about it in public. I do want to talk about that decision here in a second. But, I mean, obviously Aquindo had to feel very comfortable to come back. And obviously they realize what they have in Aquindo to ask him to come back. Is this a case where it kind of undermines the manager a little bit to see a guy get that much power?
It feels like it. Feels like it to me. I mean, I understand that that's an Aquindo personality as well. And I don't think that he's the type to... I mean, that's after one game. Mm-hmm. It's not a very good look. You know, like you and I were talking, I thought it was odd that Maddox was on the top step with Matheny. I was intrigued by that. I was like, that's pretty... We never saw that with the last regime. And I thought it was pretty cool that he was doing it. And then we see this article come out, and I noticed that during the game. And I noticed there was a lot of cutaways to Aquindo during the game. And I remember one of Martinez's big walks when he actually had them... New York was on their feet, or on their back, and he let them off the mat a little bit with a walk. And Aquindo's reaction was very funny. I mean, it was super disappointment. But yeah, I hope this isn't going to be a finger pointing situation here. Kind of feels like a Yachty situation last year, where he kind of calls him out on the social media sites. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, it didn't turn out to be that big a deal. But I hope it's not this kind of situation. And we talked about it beforehand. I like the Bernie show, and I listen to it just about every morning. And he really wants to be—he wants to be the bully right now. That's really rough on Matheny, and I think he's really trying to push that narrative really hard right now. Not the once it cost him his job. I just think it's a ratings push, to be honest with you. not that he needs it, but he thinks that Matheny maybe it falls on a lot of these moves, and. I thought there was a lot of stuff in the written article that, you know, I don't know if they could be substantiated, really. You know, like, that's one of the reasons why he left and all kinds of stuff. That I don't know if we could always look into those things, and we're never going to know the truth, you know, until we find out at you know, one of the situations where we get the face-to-face, which now with him being back in the fold, we're never going to hear that answer, you know, so we're never going to know. I'm really concerned that two of the talking points that we've had tonight are a possible tug of war between Maddox taking a step back to maybe Matheny's decisions, or there's going to be an undermining situation of Oquendo over Matheny, which I'm like, you know, I know that these are things that have to be out there, and there's a good possibility that they're probably true. This isn't how I wanted to start the season, though. when we heard that maybe the top, the biggest roster turn they made was in the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, that was what we, you know, that was the biggest focus of the offseason was those new arms, new names coming in, and what that was going to mean for how games were being managed. And, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing to some degree, is trying to figure out, you know, who holds the cards, if you will. Because these are not guys that Mike Matheny hired. I don't believe that he had, I'm sure he had say in the matter. But I feel like these are guys that were kind of put on his staff, not hired by Matheny. And that may be more of a standard thing nowadays. I don't know that coaches bring their own pitching coaches or hitting coaches or stuff like that as much as they did a few years ago. But I don't know, it is kind of interesting to see. I'm not saying that there's a whole lot of tensions yet, but I also think that, you know, if there is a push, when push comes to shove between Oquendo and Matheny, I'm not sure Oquendo doesn't win, depending on what the situation is. And I'm not saying that Oquendo's going to be the next manager. I don't know that Oquendo wants to be the next manager anymore, honestly. But I do think that, you know, and Bernie has told the story for a while now that last time Oquendo was here, you know, he wanted to run extra drills before a game, and the players went to Matheny and complained that they didn't want to do it, and Matheny said, you don't have to do it. And basically, it sounds like that was kind of one of the last straw type things. And so now, if Oquendo says to do it, they're going to do it. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. I don't think it's necessarily a big, you know, Game of Thrones type of dynamic here, but it is, you know, it's Oquendo's going to do what he wants to do. And if it lines up with Matheny, great. And if it doesn't line up with Matheny, not too bad. Let's talk about this topic, though. I mean, we spent all winter and pretty much all spring talking about Matt Carpenter can play first. He really is going to stay at first. He might play a little bit of second or third. And here we are, you know, first game, he's playing third. And now Jose Martinez is apparently going to be the first baseman on a regular basis if Jose Oquendo's right, which means he's playing probably a lot of third. I don't know, he can play some second. What does this mean? Is this, you know, again, what does this mean for Colton Wong? What does this mean for Jed Jerko? You know, what does it all mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Martinez had a ton of at-bats early in spring just because we assumed it was because Carpenter was hurt. I don't know if we were just on the wrong path the whole time, because think about how much they talked about how – I mean, even DeWitt Sr. or DeWitt II had came out and said how impressed they were with him and that he's going to be in the lineup even more. We may have – should have seen this coming. About 2 weeks to go – 2 weeks left in camp, when he was hitting third every chance he got, and then he was hitting fifth every chance he got, I really thought that we were getting a preview of being an everyday player. It sure didn't seem to me like that was going to be somebody who was going to play every third or fourth day whenever Carpenter was playing second or third, or he was going to get, you know, an outfield look. That adds to it a little bit that is Munoz now the de facto fourth outfielder that to Martinez, first baseman? I don't know. I just thought that the way the lineups were shuffled around late in spring, it really looked like he was the starter and that Jerko was going to fill that role of super sub that they've wanted to do since they brought him over. I can't really complain about that. It seems like Martinez has continued to hit. Adds a little bit of athleticism. Probably still learning the bag a little bit at first, but we said the same thing about Carpenter first half of last year. You know, so they can live with that. I don't know. I mean, if they're going to score runs, I mean, there could be a situation where, and I don't want this to happen, and I've said this forever, I do not want that lineup to change for a month to 6 weeks. I want them to run with it. I want it to mature. I want it to be okay. But after the very first game, you kind of look at it, you're thinking, hey, if Pham is really not seeing the ball well, and they threw him absolutely nothing that was straight. Everything was off speed. He's having trouble picking them up. Everybody has picked that up now, especially a team that played them, you know, 27 times in the spring in the Mets and Marlins anyway. You wonder if this progression is going to be, are we going to be looking at Martinez in the top three of the order before too long? If he's going to continue to hit, I think that's going to be the case. I do like him in that five hole. But to answer the question, I do think the warning signs were out there to show that he was probably going to be a starting player this whole time. And we just naturally assumed it was going to be Carpenter. But the opening day lineup, I was glad that it was put out the way that it was. I had absolutely zero element of surprise. I figured that's the way it was going to be.
You know, we've talked a number of times about Jerko being that utility guy that he should have been when they traded for him, because they kind of didn't expect him to be a starter when they traded for him. And there's been talk about him, you know, getting less at bats so that he's fresher down the stretch, which, okay. But I don't know. It just feels a little bit strange to think, because I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a situation where Jerko's going to get buried to some degree.
Well, yeah,
because
I agree
with
that.
If Martinez is going to play every day, and we know Carpenter's going to play every day, you got to figure Wong's going to play most of the time at second base, although no, I guess there's no guarantee. Somebody, Wong or Jerko, just is going to get the short end of the stick here.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And it was, you know, I was talking to Adam Butler about it as well, who's really been pushing for Martinez from you know, day one of the offseason, and even last year, about how well he's hit. And that's, he brought that up. He said, well, Jerko and Martinez have to play against lefties because they both crush them. So I would bet when Sunday's lineup is going to be Carpenter at second and Jerko at third. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, it feels like this, you want to play the hot hand, and it just seems like Matheny's not very good at that. You know, you and I have talked about that a lot. And I don't know. I really like Jerko. I really, really like 125 to 130 game Jerko, because it seems like he's run out of steam the second half of the year, the last 2 years as a Cardinal. But you'd think that there's going to be a situation where he's going to have a hard time getting enough reps to stay fluid, to keep his timing, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think that's one of the problems that this team has with a lot of players that are on the same level of talent, or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't have obvious backups. They have guys that need to start.
Yeah.
And when you have a whole bunch of guys that need to start, and they don't, you know, not everybody can. I mean, you got four starters for three spots, it becomes difficult to get everybody to rotate in well. I mean, it's tough for anybody, and we haven't necessarily seen that that's the strength of Matheny's anyway, but it can be tough for anybody to make enough time. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this works out. I mean, you got to feel somewhat for Colton, because, you know, he finally had a year where they just left him alone and he did fine.
Yeah.
And now he may get, you know, semi, you know, we last spring when the platoon word was brought up, he bristled at that. I can only imagine what he would think about it now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it feels like, you know, Jed Jerko, you're right. But, you know, last year he was hurt down the stretch, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't, you know, how much of that was fatigue, how much of that was dealing with injury. You know, he's a guy that's hit, what, 25 homers both years? I mean, obviously a power bat, and it's good bat to have on the bench, but
yeah,
he needs to play, too.
That's what I mean. I was one of the guys that thought they may sign a bat to push him to the a bench role to keep him fresh as well. I thought, hey, if you have 50 home runs coming off the bench, you're pretty darn deep. But you're right. I mean, that was my first deal. I was like, how are they going to do this? How are they going to keep everybody fresh? I mean, I'm a big proponent of Carpenter. I mean, I think that he's a big part of the lineup. I thought he looked good, you know, in the opener.
Right.
So you don't really want to do that. I mean, I think you're leaving a lot of doubles off the table when he doesn't sit or when he doesn't play. I don't know. I mean, I'm ready in a worried way to see how it does play out. I'm glad for a guy like Martinez that has earned his way. And maybe it all will work out. Maybe everybody will have those 400 at bats. You know, one of those situations, and maybe it'll all work out. But I understand why everybody's skeptical, because I feel the same way.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris Jerko has better defense over at third too, and that's something.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, I thought he was great. I thought he played really well last year.
Yeah, so I know, and it's also interesting that if you didn't think Jose Martinez was really going to be your fourth outfielder, it's a little surprising they didn't go with Bader over Munoz.
Yeah.
I mean, you still need that depth at infield, but I mean, if Jerko is going to be Jerko can play short in a pinch. I don't think you want him there a lot, but he can play it. You know, if he's going to be a super sub utility guy, do you need a Munoz that's going to cover some of the same positions?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little surprising that they went that way if they were planning on Martinez at first base all the time. Now, again,
sure. I thought about that as well. I was like, you know, I'm glad they did that, but I like Munoz a lot, so I was glad that he made the team. But they're exposed in center if something were to happen with Pham right now.
I mean, yeah, they moved Fowler back over, and Ozuna could play.
I don't really like
Ozuna, you know, could play center too, you know, but
I mean, it could, but
no. You know, if something happened, I mean, Bader's on his way up.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there is that. I mean, no matter some of these decisions we talk about, you know, things can be fixed the next day. But still, I don't know. It's a situation that's going to be, it's going to bear watching, because it feels to me, if, you know, the way we've seen him use the bullpen is an indication that, you know, there could be weeks where, you know, you just don't see Jerko. Or to see Wong.
Yeah, keep in mind, tomorrow it's DeGrom.
Right.
Give me the lineup tomorrow.
I don't know.
I would say that it's probably going to be the same, and I would bet that Sunday Jerko's in the lineup because it's Matt's.
Yeah.
That's how I would feel. I would think tomorrow is probably your opening day lineup again, and I think we see Jerko with a start on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, That's probably fair. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, you're going to have Carpenter play second on Sunday instead of
Jerko
on third at third?
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I'm not arguing with that. That's probably what's going to happen. But it feels to me that, you know, Colton did all right against lefties. I mean, you want to sit him down against the hard ones, the big guys. But you know, I don't know that Steven Matz is one of those guys, but, you know, you got to pick your poisons, I guess, and figure out time to play them. So, yeah, you may be right. That may be the way that works out. So, all right. Well, that's, you know, like I said, it was a full week of stuff. We didn't really even get into those Montreal games and how they looked, which were interesting games. Cardinals have, the two games with the Mets. Then they go to Milwaukee for three, and then they come home and have the home opener, you know, next week against the Diamondbacks before we get back to you. So, Alan, anything you want to touch on or promote or talk about or anything like that before we wrap it?
I don't think so. I think that we covered week well. I'm kind of glad to get back into these Fridays after ball games. So,
yep.
They need to be ball games on Friday. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I would also, I would mention, last week I put up a post on my blog that had all the different podcasts you can listen to, including ours and So if you want to, if you like ours and you want to listen to other people's as well, check that out because there's plenty of them out there. And doing the Cardinal Six, the prediction game. We've got the Mets one is closed and starting to grade it a little bit. I put the Brewer one out today, so you can find that on my Twitter site. I'll tweet it out two or three more times this weekend, so it'll be ready to go for Monday. So hoping that'll be fun to kind of keep up with all year long. So, and I got a post tomorrow for Mark McGwire's first home run, because 20 years ago tomorrow was number one of 60 or of 70. We'll be counting those down throughout the season as well. So
awesome
stuff to look forward to. And then there's, like I said, there'll be games to write about as well, and we'll be doing that when they are available. So we will come at you next week. Appreciate you listening to us. That's Alan, and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Sutter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.